Welcome back to TipTV Finance, where I'm joined by Ben Harrington, who's a business journalist and the editor at the Beaterville website. How are you today, Ben?
Very well, thanks. Although a little bit wet.
It does happen when it rains, doesn't it? But this, have you been? Is your ardour been dampened by Blue Monday, which is, you know,
last week?
No, that's actually this week.
I thought Blue Monday was the
tube driver's contribution to. They should have had this. They should have had it today, just to give us the final, like the big slap, you know, when they're earning their 50 grand a year and everything. But what have you got from the newspapers today, and what's on the M&A circuit?
Well, literally, as I was walking in, a rather large deal was announced, which was Essilor, a French lens maker, agreeing a deal to buy Italian company called Luxottica for €22 billion. Luxottica, I don't know if you're aware, is the owner and maker of Ray-Ban sunglasses.
No, it's well above my particular league, unfortunately.
So that's one of the first large European M&A transactions of the year.
Well, no, it sounds incredible, actually. Incredible.
Well, €22 billion is rather large.
It's a lot of money for glasses, shades. Was it in the pipeline, or just like came out of the blue?
It literally came out of the blue. And to be honest, I don't have that much more detail because it came up on my phone as I was literally walking into the studio, so I can't really tell you much more about it.
It's one of those things that reminds you, like, you know, they say content is king, but it's like brands are king, really, aren't they? It's the brands which really have the value these days.
Yeah. So I think looking over the Sunday newspaper sections in the UK, they were actually a little bit light on M&A stories. I enjoyed James Ashton's piece on, he had an interview with Henry Blodgett, which I read and I thought that was quite interesting. And Dan Dunkley had a good piece on quite a few of these upcoming floats as well, also in the Sunday Times. Bloomberg had a good story late last week about a good scoop about Acacia merging with Endeavor to create their two African gold mining companies, although they both have listings outside of Africa. So Acacia has a listing, has a UK listing, and then Endeavor has a listing in Toronto. But Acacia is also controlled by Barrick Gold as well. So that was quite a good story by Bloomberg, I thought, last week. Forced out a confirmation from Acacia. But in terms of UK deals, it's been a little bit of a quiet start, but that's always to be expected in the first couple of weeks of January. Plus, you've got all the uncertainty around Brexit. So not surprising there. Still got a couple of deals rumbling over from last year. LSE Deutsche Börse hasn't closed yet. I know that's one of your bugbears, isn't it? We're still waiting for the German regulators to approve that deal. The German state of Hesse, which is the home state of Deutsche Börse, it has to sort of give approval to the transaction. And I think there's supposed to be Reuters reporting late last week that there's supposed to be a summit about that coming up that would involve the management teams of both companies as well as local regulators and politicians. So that's still rumbling on. LSE Deutsche Börse, not sure how that's going to unfold as well in the context of what's going on with Brexit, and I'm not even going to try to speculate as well. The other big deal that's still rumbling on is the 21st Century Fox Sky transaction, which the Telegraph had a piece on about how 21st Century and Fox were trying to reassure MPs about the £18 billion takeover with a view to avoiding an appearance at the Culture Committee. So that's still sort of live and kicking and could take various twists and turns. I don't know if you're following that one.
I stopped following it now.
You stopped following it?
Well, it's taken so long to... I mean, it's one of those things. I find it bizarre anyway. It was a bizarre situation. And I think that there's still lots of hiccups and issues to come, I think, probably.
Yeah. Talking about broadcasters, there was plenty of speculation late last week about ITV. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that. I saw the Goldman Sachs conviction buy on ITV. I didn't know whether they were just.
Yeah, I think they also placed them on a sort of
hot alert or red alert.
Well, no, on a kind of potential companies to be taken over in 2017. So Goldman Sachs upgrading them to conviction buy. I think JP Morgan were also pushing them. And then about a week earlier, Jeremy Warner, a former colleague of mine, who I used to sit next to at the Daily Telegraph, wrote a rather large opinion piece, about how he thought ITV would get taken over this year as well.
The only problem with that is that I don't think I remember any situation where you're told...
Where everybody says it's going to get taken over and then it happens the next day.
Yes, yeah. It just doesn't. It takes.
I mean, not everybody. When it comes to brokers and commentators, but when it comes to M&A reporters and they break a story, and hopefully you would have thought that it then gets. Well,
they are very reliable, but other
confirmed
people
confirmed
are not so reliable. Unfortunately.
Anyway, I might have a bit about ITV on Betaville either later today or later on this week. Some quite interesting, curious gossip. That might be able to shed a bit of light on the situation.
I mean, not wanting to bore people, but I don't actually see what the reason for a bidder going for ITV is, because it seems to me that as a terrestrial broadcaster, you know, it's one of the dinosaurs. I mean, all the actions on the, you know, the Netflix and the Amazons and all the other places like that.
I think because ITV is such a big content producer, and it's all about high quality. You know, having high quality content that you can push out through all these different channels. I think that's one of the ideas that's being kicked around. Don't ask me too much about strategic logic, because I don't know.
As a trainee media mogul myself, it seems to me that the channels, the biggest channels or the channels which are really coming through now are the Netflixes and...
Anyway, I don't want to get too bogged down in that, because there's one other thing I want to talk about, which was Punch, the pub company. I don't know if you've been following that situation at all?
Vaguely, yes.
Right, okay. So just to give you a quick backstory, Punch have recommended an offer from a consortium comprising Heineken and Patron Capital, the offer at at 180p a share. In the meantime, they've also had a higher indicative offer, or around about of about 185p a share, from a consortium led by a chap called Alan McIntosh. And since then, and this all sort of came out just before in early December, the shares have been trading above, around the sort of between 190 and 200p, something like that. I can't quite remember what they are today. Perhaps you might be able to check for me.
I'll try and do that while you're talking.
And then I did a little piece. So you've got a situation where Heineken and Patron Capital are about to release the details of their offer later on this week. I think it's on the 20th. The scheme, which has been structured as a scheme of arrangement, and you've got this other consortium supposedly sort of lurking out there, trying to put together the financing to come up with a counter bid. They'd been talking to the Rubin brothers, or approached the Rubin brothers, whether the Rubin brothers had committed to backing the Alan McIntosh-led consortium is not that clear. But while I was making some calls about this last week, there was suggested to me, and this isn't based on any facts, this was just bankers theorising, that why bother getting into a competitive situation with Heineken, which is a strategic bidder, why not just go for Enterprise Inns instead? So I'll leave your viewers with that.
So it's an interesting, I mean, it's a good old-fashioned bid battle with lots of potential twists and turns.
Yes, it is, yeah. Although it may not.
Okay, well, that's... it sounds like something from the 80s or the 90s, you know, that type of era. You know, it's where
had a few of these bid battles over the last few months, I think.
Yeah. So any other areas to look out for? You're clear for the day? I mean, you said at the beginning that it was a bit quieter here. Is it surprising, given the weakness of the pound, that there's no more action for, like, I don't know, Cobham or Rolls-Royce or some of the manufacturing...
I'm sure some of these deals will happen, these manufacturing deals, but... it's a question of time, and I think we'll probably have to wait a little bit longer.
So the uncertainty, the political uncertainty is maybe dampening the ardour of potential bidders.
Possibly.
Ben Harrington, business journalist and editor of the Beatable website, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.